welcome into the Vampire Movie Club, where we all get together and watch every single vampire movie ever made because we're nuts. I am your host, Shannon, and today we have a whole gaggle of people with us. We will start this way.
Robin.
Jillian.
Mike.
Jordan.
Evencio.
Annie.
Bryn.
Hooray! And today's question... Oh, I should tell you what movie we watched first. We watched Dracula, Dead and Loving It, the 1995 movie from Mel Brooks. Woo!
Yay!
Huzzah.
Okay, so we're gonna go around this way, and we're gonna say your question is the same as last week. If you were better, what would you spread yourself on?
Ooh, this is a good question. Hi, Oscar.
Hi, we have Oscar hanging out with us.
I feel like if I were better, I would spread myself on probably baked potatoes. I love potatoes.
Oh, baked potatoes, especially. That's a better answer than mine.
So, that is my answer. I would spread myself on a baked potato.
Can I spread myself on your baked potato?
Ooh.
Hot.
Okay.
Open invite. Okay.
I answered this last week, but last week I think I settled on rice, but this week I think I'm gonna go with popcorn.
Ooh, okay.
I don't really eat much butter. I eat it on popcorn. I just recently started eating it on pancakes.
Ooh.
Just recently?
What did you eat on pancakes before?
Maple syrup. I didn't even know, I never knew that butter and maple syrup went together. I grew up Mexican, so it's not like my mom knew a lot of traditional American dishes. But I really like butter on corn.
Corn, that is good.
It's like, sweet corn.
Yeah.
Now I just want all these foods.
We should have a barbecue. Corn and pancakes and grilled corn potatoes. So good.
Jordan?
Probably a yam or a sweet potato, because I enjoy sweet potatoes.
That's a good job, too.
It's not a joke, Vince.
I'm laughing at the delivery.
What you said. So straightforward. You're like, I would spread myself on a yam. Thank you.
I'll see myself out.
I'm going to have to go with a 1995 Pamela Anderson.
I knew it was
going to
be something like that.
I told you you weren't going to like my answer.
You were going to say like a penis or something, which is damn close. Shit. Oh, that's fair.
I was going to say mashed potatoes before rinse and baked potatoes.
Their potatoes are different and they're all beautiful, so you can say mashed potatoes.
Is evidenced by the fact that...
I thought you were pointing at me.
That's it, was not a big potato.
I love that one because I'm brown and round.
Okay, it was a beautiful, beautiful baked potato. Aww. My favorite potato.
Are you sticking with mashed potatoes?
I'm sticking with mashed potatoes.
Okay. You can go ahead.
You know what mine is.
What's yours? You have to say it.
The people has to be a pumpkin muffin.
Ooh, that's right. You said pumpkin muffin.
That doesn't count.
I want that.
I want all of these foods.
Maybe we should
including
have a food
the 1995
podcast.
Family Anderson.
Except that one. Mike.
No, we have. We're just going to have to agree to disagree.
On that note, I'm going home.
What did I say last week? I do love butter.
Been
I do love popcorn.
And deep fried it.
And corn, but I like corn with Parmesan cheese.
I think that was a Simpsons where he took bacon and wrapped it around a stick of butter and just started eating it.
Oh, that's sacrilegious.
Yes, he did. That was really funny.
No?
That's eating a stick of butter? No.
Eating a stick of butter?
No, that's disgusting. I'm going to go with, home-baked bread, and then, a slice of home-baked bread, like that bread I made a couple months ago, and I haven't made sense because I'm the worst, and it's real good. We're going to go with that. Anyway, we watched Dracula, Dead and Loving It, and we'll go around. Had you ever seen it?
No.
You'd never seen it?
No, I know.
Not so.
I had not.
Okay.
One of the very few Mel Brooks movies I had never seen.
I had seen it, yes.
This, we are watching it because of you.
Yeah. I think I was like, we should watch... I feel like we should have watched it after Bram Stoker's Dracula.
We probably should have.
Because it would have been more, let's compare the two of them.
And speaking of Jordan...
Oh!
Happy birthday to you! Happy birthday!
Happy birthday,
dear Jordan!
mic's on fire.
Don't catch the mic's on fire. Now our smoke alarm's gonna go off.
Jesus, how many candles are on that thing?
At least 36.
Less than yours.
They don't give me candles on my cake anymore.
I almost bought 36 candles, but that was a lot.
Very
of candles.
Clever, you two.
Did you see my really sly dot to get him to go?
I did see that, yes.
That wasn't me, just
but
like.
I thought that was an inside joke, and I'm like, oh, they have a thing. They're friends.
I mean, sort of it was the inside joke of, ha ha ha, we're going to sing to Jordan on his birthday.
So. Yay! I'm a bad wife, and I'm busy this week, and I won't be here for Jordan's birthday, so we made a cake, and they're singing him happy birthday.
Yay!
At the Vampire Movie Club. Hooray!
Yay!
It's a really good cake. Jordan will decide if he wants to share or not. So we gotta get back to business, guys. Avencio, have you seen Bidness.
Bidness.
Avencio, have you ever seen this movie?
No, I have not seen like many Mel Brooks movies, so this is great. I laughed a lot.
Yay!
It was fun.
Yeah.
I have seen this movie. In fact, in pieces parts, this was my first ever vampire movie.
Oh, wow.
And Miss Brynn?
I have seen this movie multiple times on purpose.
You have made the active choice to watch this movie.
I made the active choice to watch this movie, and then after watching this movie, I made the active choice to watch it again.
Good job. I had never seen this movie. I haven't seen a lot of Mel Brooks or Leslie Nielsen movies. Wasn't he in...
Naked Gun?
Naked Gun. Wasn't he wasn't playing
No,
well,
you
right?
guys are going to just tell me all of his movies. No, wasn't he in one of the Creepshow ones where he was on the beach? Isn't that him? Where
the Creepshow or Creepshow 2 movies?
Yeah.
I don't think he's
where
in
it's that. Like he's super he serious. He's super serial, guys.
In Creepshow?
So he is in Creepshow. He
really?
Is, yeah, he's yeah. The one on the beach.
He's also in Stan Helsing.
Oh. Is that
I've seen Creepshow 2.
Which may be another vampire
no,
movie.
No, this
is
in
Creepshow.
He's not in 2. He's in Creepshow. The 1982 film.
Ooh, he's on the beach, right? And they bury him up to his neck and then... Am I drunk?
Yeah, no, I just can't picture it. I'm sure you're right. I just can't picture it.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I like that when you say I'm sure you're right. Cool.
Well, I'm sure you are. I am drawing very much a blank on that movie.
Oh, well, it's all good. So, we have Dracula Dead and Loving It. Does anybody want to take a stab at the plot?
Brynn, I feel like since you've seen it so many times.
Do you want to help us out?
I totally can. So, this whole movie is an absolute, like, satire mockery of, pretty much every other classic Dracula movie ever done, but Mel Brooks did it, so it's, you know, full of slapstick and also puns and terrible humor. It very closely follows the Dracula with Gary Oldman in it.
Mm-hmm.
All of the classic characters, Renfield and Mina and everybody. But yeah, all of those sequels.
It does. Yeah, it's just straight up Dracula, and it is... although there are a lot of visual similarities I noticed to the Bram Stoker, to the Bela Lugosi Dracula, there are scenes and such from the Francis Ford Coppola Dracula. Mm-hmm. Where do we go from here? I don't know where to go from here because you all had a wonderful time and. Mel Brooks and I are not best friends, and I don't know what it is that I just am not rolling.
You looked real miserable watching it.
Yeah.
This wasn't my favorite Mel Brooks film, but I still enjoyed it. I mean,
yeah.
I think you were the only one in the room not laughing.
I know, I'm a cranky face.
This is not only my first vampire movie, but my first Mel Brooks movie.
Oh, really?
And I really liked it. I've always liked this movie.
That's awesome.
I thought it was stupid dumb. Like, funny, stupid dumb.
Well, that was kind
is.
Of the point.
Yeah.
It was a compliment. Like, I really liked it.
I don't know what it was where I'm like, yeah, we did that whole fucking setup where he's outside in the daytime just for the one thing of, like, that was I had a daymare. And I'm like, yep. And Jordan's dying over there. He thinks that's the greatest fucking joke he's ever heard. And I'm just like, that was 20 minutes. It wasn't 20 minutes, but it's
That joke did go. It went on.
That's for a hot joke, minute. Though. Like the fact that it went for so long. Like they were like, you know, it's funny. I want to do this one joke, but we got to set it up, and it's going to be this 5 minute thing. Like that's the joke. That's what makes Mel Brooks so good.
I was just sitting over here shaking my head. I was really afraid when they were at the opera, and then they were just like, okay, I'm going to hypnotize you, and you're going to go do the thing, and then you're going to forget everything, and then she forgets it, and then she comes back. I was really, really afraid they were going to do the whole damn thing again. And I'm like, oh, God. And then they didn't, and I was very thankful.
Now, if they'd have done it two more times, it would have been hilarious.
Because comedy comes in threes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. No, I would have stabbed myself in the heart with a stake if they had done it two times. That took so long, too. And
there's
I'm like,
certain things that they didn't do in threes, like the when he stabs Lucy. And
yeah, I anticipated
out.
A third one.
They did
one.
That twice, and I'm like, you really should have done it a third time. It just it should have been like, blah. And like just like a little blip, and it would have been
just
like,
a huge explosion.
I think they were planning on it. I think they had it set up and planned to, because they did not tell him.
But he was just
what was going to happen. Yeah, so as soon as he hit the first one and it blew up, that was all genuine reactions, because he didn't know that blood was going to be coming out like that. Mm-hmm. And so his she's dead enough line was totally ad-libbed.
Because he was done.
Yeah, he
was
very done. To get her one more time, and then he's like, nope, she's dead enough.
So they most likely had a third one set up.
Oh. And he just didn't want to get, like...
Well, the second time he got so much blood on
it. It was ridiculous.
Yeah. And for gallons of blood.
It's so gross. Yeah, for some reason, because I haven't seen Steven Weber in a ton of stuff. I've seen him in... like a handful of episodes of Wings. Mm-hmm. And so I don't even know why I've seen that, because I was a kid, but for some reason it was on, and I'm like, there we go. Because apparently my mom watched it, and so I watched it. I remember going to the airport in Chico, and it reminded me of the airport in Wings, because the same guy who sold me my sandwich then, like, took my ticket and then put my bag on the plane, and I'm probably sure piloted the plane.
Did
he
look like Tony Shalhoub?
It was not Tony Shalhoub. But what do you call it? I've seen him in Reefer Madness, which is also hilarious, but he's not necessarily funny in it. So I don't know why I was so surprised at his ability to maintain focus in that. Because you said that, like, right as it was happening.
Yeah.
And I'm just like...
And that's my favorite scene in the whole thing.
I was a little impressed.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I haven't seen him in anything to say yes or no to his ability to that. But I was like, good job, that guy.
Yeah.
But most of what he's done has been, or at least most of what he's known for, have been comedies or...
Okay. I don't remember him terribly in Wings. Was he the straight man in Wings? Because he was the straight man in Reefer Madness.
No, he was the little brother. The straight man was, I can't think of his name. His older brother.
Like him, but isn't his brother at all.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Good job.
If only there were a device.
If only we had a device that would tell us who Steven Weber's brother was in Wings.
I'm on it.
Cool.
I have that device.
Do you, that power.
Yeah, do you hold the key? Space.
I hold the key.
To life?
Yeah. To life.
Itself?
Itself.
Thank you.
Tim Daly. Oh my God.
Tim Daly, yeah.
I did
beat
not know
Jillian
that.
On it.
Ooh. Oh, just your brain? With just the power of your brain?
No, Google.
Oh, shit. Okay.
I'm an idiot and only Googled Wings, which then got me Wingstop, Buffalo Wild Wings, Sonic Drive-In, Wings Center.
That was dumb.
Yeah, Tim Daly was the brother.
Okay. Well, there you go. I've only seen him now in three things, and I don't remember him in Wings, but I was very impressed with his ability to maintain focus through most of this ridiculous movie, especially that, because that's a lot of sticky blood.
I really liked just everybody's, like, laser focus on doing this absolutely absurd movie and all these absolutely absurd accents. Playing it so, like, straight and narrow and serious.
They do.
Guys,
I enjoyed that.
Can we talk about my favorite character in the movie?
Please tell me about your favorite character
that
in this movie.
That gypsy lady in the beginning of the movie.
Do you know who that is?
No.
I didn't know who that is.
Mel Brooks' wife.
I didn't know they were married.
Wait.
Oh, that's cute.
No, it's Anne Bancroft.
It's not Anne Bancroft.
Shut your mouth. No, it's not. Wait.
The credits told me the gypsy woman at the beginning was Anne.
Oh, no, there's somebody else. No, it is.
Is it?
No, there's somebody else credited as gypsy woman.
I'm going to look it up.
Who is Mel Brooks' wife?
Who is not Anne Bancroft?
Anyways, I still like the part.
Yes.
In the trivia on IMDb, it says that it is Mel Brooks' wife.
No, that's lying.
You're lying.
It's lying.
Because he was only ever, I think, honestly, he was only ever married to Anne Bancroft, I think.
Was he married to Anne Bancroft? Then that would make sense, because it was her. Yeah.
Was it?
Yes, that's what I just said.
Well, I didn't think it was. I thought I saw it to each other.
Guys, fucking focus. It's Anne Bancroft.
Well,
she's the charity woman.
I don't have the ability to
Madame
hyper focus.
Uspenskaya, who was portrayed by Mel Brooks' wife, actress Anne Bancroft.
Okay. Yeah.
I
was excited that it was Anne Bancroft and that I recognized a name. Because I didn't know they were married. That's fun.
I was hoping she'd be in it a lot more.
That was a very good scene.
She was my favorite character.
She was pretty good. I did not know that Peter McNichol was in this, and so he's like the first face you see, and my little Peter McNichol heart just grew three times that day because I love that man.
Which one was he?
He is Renfield.
He was good too.
Yes.
Of all of the movies, Renfield so far, he's my favorite Renfield.
He's pretty good. He's got the same
hair. Ghostbusters 2.
Killing me. Were you
life have you
which is why Shannon
I grew up
I
Mexican.
So
were you friends with Jordan and I like 2 years ago when we dressed up like fucking Peter McNichol and Viggo the Painting for Halloween?
2 years ago, we barely knew each other because it was during Rocky.
So now that we have this costume podcast, I want everybody to list every Halloween costume they've had. That will be fantastic. No, I love Peter McNichol, and I specifically love him from Ghostbusters 2. And so the fact that he was in this, I'm just like, this is me. We're going to figure out a way to make Ghostbusters 2 a vampire movie, and then that way you can watch it, because it's amazing.
Or we can just watch it.
Or we just need you. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Sounds like a lot of quality time.
Yeah, I don't know.
This was just a trend all night tonight, because I was like, I've never seen that movie. Oh, then that movie? I've never seen that movie.
If I had a quarter for every time you've said that tonight,
you'd have $1.25.
Yeah. I was just going to say that.
Oh my gosh, we're married. We're not married for real.
Titty tally, we didn't see any full boobs.
There were no full boobs. There were a whole lot of boob tops.
There were a lot of cleavage.
There was some cleavage.
There was a whole
in
lot of boob tops.
One of my favorite scenes. Not for that.
Jillian loves
about Jillian every
tops.
Day.
They're walking, they're like gliding away, and he's like, stop that. And then they just like walk off.
And then they walk like little rhinos.
I was going to say, like, when he stopped and was like, what are you doing to the furniture?
That was hysterical. Do we know why they were only two?
No.
For fun?
The budget?
Maybe to symbolize that he was going to go after another blonde and brunette later.
They
might not have been able to fit that many boobs on the screen.
That was just way too much boob on one screen.
Some versions that I've read, there are two until Mina almost joins them, and then she's the third. Unless I'm making that up.
You might be making that up.
You
sound confident, though.
So I believe it.
Go with it.
I'll take it.
There's a question mark behind it.
No, but speaking of budget, I did appreciate that he had a relatively good set recreation. Like, a lot of it looked like the original Dracula, and even the doors, the way the doors are shaped, and even how the stairs go up once you get inside the doors. And so I had to give him that. Not that his movies are ever super low budget and, like, super sketch, but I appreciated that. This is 95. He was well-established as, like, let me make a movie. And they're just like, here you go.
All this money.
Here's all this money.
Make
have
us even more money.
Have the people and the monies and the Peter McNichols. And just make this movie, please.
I very much appreciated all the costuming, too.
Mm-hmm. I did.
The costumes were beautiful.
Even the brides had really...
really fun and, like, interesting.
And they were different. Like, they weren't exactly the same dress. They were very similar dresses, but not exactly the same, which I liked.
I liked those.
And the wig. The wig almost killed me, guys.
Oh,
his wig.
His Gary Oldman wig.
So he has Gary Oldman.
He called it a hat, though.
He did call it his hat. And then he took it off, and he just had his regular Leslie Nielsen hair underneath.
That was too good.
Which the Creepshow movie I saw him in, I think, was in black and white. Now I feel like I'm drunk and I'm making this up.
I think you are drunk because Creepshow wasn't in black and white.
Drunk.
Well, maybe he just always had white hair. Is he like Steve Martin and he's never had not white hair?
No, Steve Martin has
Steve Martin had
blonde hair.
No, he's always had.
But he went prematurely gray.
Yeah. He's always had gray.
Steve Martin went gray in his 20s.
I did appreciate the bat transformation.
Yeah,
that was cool.
Of the movies we've been seeing lately, some of them have real shitty CG, and this one is 1995. How come they can get their shit together for bat transformation? But
two words,
Mel Brooks.
Yeah,
he doesn't work a computer.
Well, no, but they hand him a ton of money.
They just
thank you, Jordan, for laughing at my joke.
They just pull up with like a dump truck full of money and be like,
Here you go. Get what you need.
Do what you need
and
to do.
And how do you know he doesn't work on a computer?
Change your name to Mel Brooks.
Because, right? I mean, we're friends. I don't know. He could be very good on a computer, but he doesn't do his own bat transformation
friends
work.
After years, you're talking about his movie like this.
They're on this level. It's okay.
Yeah, it's fine. He understands. We've talked about it.
Yeah.
No, because Daybreakers was in 2009. What bullshit was that? That was the worst. And so it is constantly surprising.
What transformation in Daybreakers didn't you like?
The fire when they were pulling him into the sun.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Well, it was just like they could have actually lit a character on fire, but they decided to see.
I did make the comment that when the bat caught on fire, it looked much more realistic than the Daybreakers.
It did. And this is 1995 bullshit. So why are we constantly, like, why are the early 90s constantly outdoing even mid-2000s?
Money.
Probably because, like, never mind. I'm not going to say that.
They probably actually lit the fake bat on fire.
Probably.
I feel like
no less dependent on CG.
Along the same vein.
I get it.
I think that modern movie makers have just gotten a little lazy with it. And all those people, in 1990, whatever, had some bit of proof. Like, oh, we have all this cool technology. Let's green screen not everything but a couple things and we'll make it really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What movie were we watching that had Anton...
Yelkin?
Yeah, and he was... I don't remember the name of the movie.
Was it Fright Night?
No, not a vampire movie.
Oh, like in... Was it Odd Thomas?
Odd Thomas. And he's like flipping pancakes.
Yeah.
And they CG'd the pancakes that he was flipping.
Yeah.
And I was just kind of like...
Or he could just learn how to fucking flip
a... spend an afternoon for him to learn how to flip a pancake. Like, you don't need to like CG a pancake.
That had super CG and it was annoying.
Practical effects these days. You can, really.
There was a lot of really super fake stuff in that one that made me cranky. So all the movie makers out there who are listening to this really established podcast, make some real stuff.
I wonder if these companies are CG companies and they're just kind of like, they're petitioning, like selling themselves to these movies.
Uh-huh.
They're just like, we can give you a really cool pancake effect. Like, we've got awesome fire. And they're just like, oh, okay, well, that'll save us some time and money. And then afterwards, it's just like, well, here's the footage we have. Now we have to go with them because we've signed a contract.
Yeah.
Slash, it'll cost so much to get the actors to get back here and to get them in costume and to rent the
and to train them to flip a pancake.
And to light him on fire.
And to light him on fire. While flipping a pancake.
Is the pancake also on fire?
You know what? They're actors. No, they've worked in the food service industry before.
I have. Preach.
That's amazing. No, there is stuff like that where I'm noticing that the earlier the movie, not necessarily the earlier they are, because Lair of the White Worm was real bad. And there were a lot that are real straight up bad, but that are still like so much better than our older ones or our more recent ones.
Mm-hmm.
And it's making me cranky. That's it. That's my soapbox. I'll step down now.
That's my TED Talk.
Here you go. I did, although I literally wrote, oh no, ... as we started watching this. I'm like, yep, this is going to be the movie where everybody is having a grand time and thinks this is the greatest movie. And I'm just going to be like, what is this? I did like the Mina and the maid scene like, go to the door, and then she goes to the closet, and he's like, don't trip over the ottoman. Okay, trip over the ottoman, sit down. That was fucking funny. No, I will give him that.
When she walked into the closet, I was like...
Is it the closet?
And then he says,
because when he said walk to the door, I'm like, is she just going to walk to, like, the bedroom door? Because what? Like, there are two. And then she went in the closet. I'm like, okay, that's funny.
I remember the first time I watched that absolutely wrecked me and I had to pause it. Because we had on VHS, Nina, you're in the closet. And laugh for a solid 2 minutes and then turn it back on.
That was pretty good.
I just love, not you.
Sit down. You go to bed.
I'm using like Mina walk to the just
because I'm just like, use her name. You know her name. It's so, not like, even like you don't know her name.
What was he saying when he was like carrying the maid, like at the end? Like, what did he say?
We're going to be eternal.
We're going to something about being wives.
Yeah, but like, what did he say? Like, when he knows it was her.
Oh, the same thing.
Oh, okay.
He just said it really fast, like, okay, we've already been through this.
Yeah.
Hey,
so,
we're going to be friends.
I thought it was really funny.
That one was pretty good. And Steven Weber with blood was pretty good. Yeah. I gotta give it to him for keeping that shit together.
I don't know if that would have been my favorite scene if I didn't know how much of that was unknown to him. And knowing that makes it my
favorite. Now I want to see what inside the coffin looked like. How can it shoot that much blood without him being like, okay, I'll just stake this giant pipe. It's gotta be under the...
Yeah.
Like, why is there a cannon in there?
Exactly.
unless they were planning on having some blood, just not like a gallon.
So yeah. Like,
oh, okay.
Yeah, but
that was blood. I think that he planned on it being some blood just kind of spurting out, but not just like a wave of blood washing. Yeah.
And it was one single shot. So I wonder if they're like, okay, we're going to do this in one, because they never cut away. They never did anything. Yeah. He never choked. He never gasped. He never vomited from having blood squirt up his nose or anything.
Oh my god, I would have laughed so hard. like, what the hell?
So yeah, that was fantastic.
I'm super impressed he stayed in character, because I would have been a goner.
That's hilarious.
Probably got the idea from Ridley Scott with Aliens, because when the chest burster
that was there.
None of them knew that was going to happen.
That was good.
Except for, obviously, what's his name?
The main actor. The actor that had the chest burster. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They applied that to him. Nobody else knew. So the reactions were completely real.
That's pretty cool. Because I keep talking about Jurassic Park, so why not? When the Jeeps, I use your word, Shannon, when the Jeeps sunroof comes down, those poor little kids are just screaming for realsies, because that wasn't supposed to happen. And so that was Ariana Richardson's audition, was just screaming. They're like, okay, your audition is just to scream.
I believe it. That's her 90% of that movie.
A whole lot. So good job, her. And I wish she did more besides like Jurassic Park and Prancer.
She's like a painter now.
Prancer. Huh? I heard she was a painter now.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, everybody don't go watch Prancer. It's awful.
I thought she became a painter.
I do.
Have you seen Prancer?
No.
It's not good.
That's about 50.
I do want Mina's green dress. So once we go back to costume podcast, I want Mina's green dress real bad.
I also really love her not Victorian nightgown. That's more like 1930s.
Oh, her white one that she was like randomly tangoing in?
Yeah. Yes. I really like that.
That one was gorgeous.
Was burying people in their nightgowns a thing? Because when Lucy came back to life, that's what she was wearing.
Yeah.
Was
a nightgown.
Was that a thing back then?
I think so.
I don't think you're
going
so.
Because you were going to sleep?
They probably put you in like your nicest clothes, and normally those aren't your nightgowns.
I think you're right.
That's what I would think.
Looks like Jillian's
on it.
While we're talking about the body.
I don't know, Mike, maybe you should Google it too, because you might pull it up faster.
Shut up!
While we're talking about the ballroom ball gown thing, I did make a comment during the movie that I got really confused as to why the Dracula's clothes were invisible along with Dracula.
That happens in about 3/4 of the vampire movies.
Every single one. I don't think we have...
I've seen a vampire movie that has them...
Like, their clothes showing up.
Oh,
no. Daybreakers.
Yeah.
Had their clothes showing up?
Yeah.
Yeah. When he was in the car.
In the mirror.
In the mirror in his car.
That's right.
Yeah. So every now and then they have it.
Because it's not like their clothes are undead.
Well, we gave you two acceptable theories. I said that they were made out of vampire silkworms.
It's
and Jordan said
skin.
That they're... What? How did you phrase that?
There's a 2-inch aura of invisibility about what comes out of their body.
Except when he's dancing, that cape is flying.
Mm-hmm.
So that's more than 2 inches away.
So
yeah.
And, yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. You win the argument of a stupid movie.
Well, if that was the case, like, wouldn't, like, what's her name? Mina? Like, hand become invisible at one point because she's, like, so close to her?
Jordan, why is your theory shitty?
I'm just...
Oh, my God.
Okay,
you're right.
So
my theory stands.
Was it made out of silk? Like, everything was made out of silk? What about his shoes? His shoes were not made out of silk.
Could be silk shoes.
They could have been
those were
vampire leather.
Yeah. it was tan vampire hide.
Yep.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Now I know, guys.
Well, we do have vampire chimpanzees.
This cape was made from
which are vampanzees from last episode.
And in The Littlest Vampire, there are vampire cows. So it's possible.
That's a cute movie.
I love that movie.
I think it's on the list soon.
I also have that one if you need to.
You've got all of them.
I've got a lot.
Chick is on.
I didn't
it.
Realize how many I had until
till I needed
started
them.
This thing, and then I was like, "Oh, I've got that one, and that one, and that one."
It's real convenient.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we have vampanzees from the last one, and now we have vampire cows. And vampire, probably vampire silkworms. I think those are good and awesome things to have.
And amplosions.
And we do have amplosions also. Well, we
still love the ash smiley face.
That was cute.
I wanted when he closed the thing for the ashes to go everywhere.
Yeah. I kept waiting for him. I remember the first time I watched this. I kept waiting for him to like gather up all of Dracula's ashes and put them down and then sneeze. Because that
would have been hilarious.
That's a very like Mel Brooks visual joke for him to like scoop them up and then like almost put him
and then
in the casket and then do a horrible sneeze and just have him go everywhere and then. But it didn't happen.
I completely anticipated something happening with the ashes. There were a couple times where I was waiting for Mel Brooks jokes. Jillian has an answer.
I do, but finish your thought.
Waiting for Mel Brooks jokes. Period.
The women are generally buried in something that is trying to find the perfect balance between a dress and a nightgown.
Why?
Because.
Yeah, I need that. My mom's like, I don't want to be buried in a nightgown.
It was common for a woman to make her own because the high rates of death in childbirth, an event that could shortly follow her wedding day, so they generally made it as part of their own wedding clothing as well. Wow. Thank you, Dwight Schrute, for getting married in your graves.
That's amazing.
And
can I get buried in my wedding dress?
You should read The Undertaker's Daughter, Kate Mayfield.
Undertaker's...
She calls the Shroud Lady, whom her father, the Undertaker, hired to make shrouds for his female customers, sat down at his the sewing machine and imagined what she thought a negligee-type burial dress should look like.
Ooh. Hmm. That's fantastic. I want to make my own burial dress. Just sit in the closet. Everybody's like, why do you have that? And you never like, wear it. And I'm like,
hashtag
I'm
one day.
Also, like, it's easier to dress the dead body in something that simple. They would leave the back open so that...
Oh, so you can fold over. That makes sense. So you don't have to, like... Like when you're dressing a toddler, not that I've ever dressed toddlers, but
it's
like
I can
only imagine. It's not great.
No. It's like dressing a tiny drunk.
It's just like,
like trying to put an octopus in a Ziploc bag?
Yeah! Octopus doesn't want to be in Ziploc bags.
That's a challenge?
Octopus wants to be free. Cool. Are there any other points that you guys would like to point out? I used the word point twice. I need better words.
The sexual humor was less funny as an adult than it was when I was, like, 14.
Like her boobs between the bedposts?
Yeah,
like...
or the whole scene where Mina is, like, half-turned, and she's just like, sit over here. No, here. And she's like, touch these. And he's like, oh.
Don't mind if I... Oh, wait.
And then
they didn't
show him touching her boobs.
No, but you knew what was happening.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that was so funny when I was 14. And I was just like, this is, like, an awkward scene.
The one that did stand the test of time, because I agree, because I was much younger when I saw this, obvious bill. But the bit where Lucy comes out of the grave and she pushes Harker up against the tree and she's like,
oh yeah,
she and she's trying to be all sexy and she's and he says that he can't.
But Lucy,
I'm British.
So are these.
And then her boobs looked ridiculous.
But
they looked like
I'm undead.
Painfully
I'm
big.
But I'm not, that just killed me.
The other one that always kills me is the shadow play. Like, I don't know why that one is so funny to me.
Oh, where he's like super humping on her.
And he looks over and it's his shadow. Like,
yeah.
It's not them, it's the shadows.
I felt like this was like a very cleaner version of like what Scary Movie, like that era Scary Movie.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, like, it was very sexual. I was expecting, like, Scary Movie humor. Just because, like, that's where my brain was programmed. Like, oh, it's not as sexual as I thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. Except the humping part. That was very sexual.
Yes.
I didn't mind that, though.
What are you doing with the furniture?
That was funny. That was really funny.
I feel like...
And, like, I like how his accent changed when he was, like, all proper. And then we became, like, all slave-like. Like... It was all weird.
All Renfield-y.
Yeah.
And that is one of my favorite parts of the movie when they're like, you're a free man now, Renfield. And you see his whole posture change and he starts standing up straight. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I am, you're right. And then he's like, come along now. And he just sinks back into his seat. Like, that's really awesome.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I love Peter McNichol.
It's a good example of physical comedy. I should show just that little 30 seconds to my kids. Yeah. That's a clean 30 seconds, right?
I think so.
Most of it was really pretty clean.
Most of it's pretty... I mean,
it's clean, like, in today's standards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't show it to my students in its entirety, but...
No.
I remember when I was in... I was in 8th grade, I think. 8th grade? No, 8th grade or 9th grade. And my theater teacher was playing a chorus line. And he was going to fast forward past a tits and ass song.
Mm-hmm.
But we're like, come on, be cool. Be cool. Because we wanted to see it. I've never seen it. And he's like, fine, but you did not tell your parents. So he played it for us.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was funny.
There are way dirtier parts of that movie besides the tits and ass song.
That's the only part that he wanted to fast forward, though.
Really? Not the whole, like...
I love the entire movie.
Oh, that movie is amazing.
There are a lot of parts that I would not show.
Yeah.
I guess you might have to remind me, because...
No, there's a whole scene where he's talking about his penis and hiding behind binders and, like, yeah.
There's a split-second line about being molested by somebody sitting next to him.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. No?
And then it changes just as fast as it...
Yeah, Jordan and I saw it at the Morrison Center, and I was waiting for people to get uppity and leave during Tits and Ass, and I don't think anybody... Did people leave during Tits and Ass? Because it's, like... The second song. It's like real early on.
Yeah.
And then that guy gives like that beautiful monologue at the end, and then people left in the middle of that too.
Oh, that's what I'm thinking of, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if people left during Tits and Ass, but I know they left after his monologue, and I'm like, oh, it's really beautiful, and nothing's actually, like, nothing inappropriate is happening in it.
But it's
pointy. Which made me sad.
Mm-hmm.
But
both times I've seen Rent here live, people, like the national tours.
Oh, I can imagine they
people
leave.
Just got up and walked out in the opening number by the Troves.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, just do your research. Know what you're walking into.
I don't remember anybody walking out when I saw it, but that I was kind of wrapped up in the show. So
that's fair. There was apparently a gentleman, the dancer boys that I dressed for Lion King, they were talking about how there's an old man in the front row watching Lion King, and they come out and the... Antelope have no shirts on, and then someone, there's a couple other people that are bare-chested for one of the numbers, and they were just like, this old man was just huffy-gruffy every time they would come out with no shirt on, and so each song they would come back, and they're like, oh, huffy-gruffy man doesn't like this scene, doesn't like that scene, and like was complaining about the costumes, and then he left sometime between Shadowlands and the end, because they went out for the end and like, oh, Creepy Old Man isn't there, he didn't like something that happened, and then apparently they get a lot of complaints that it's not all in English.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's cool.
Oh my gosh.
Is there anything else? Do we have a War on Dracula instead of a War on Christmas? Right? Thank you.
Well, I think if you were to ask Van Helsing, then yes.
Cool.
I'm trying to that's think, because Mel Brooks casts himself in a lot of his movies, obviously.
What?
Who is he in Young Frank? Is he in Young Frank?
Yeah. And as soon as I said yeah, who he plays is,
I'm like, she was rolling my brain.
I saw that happening, too. You're like, yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, gone. It was so kind of like, Mel Brooks, you're making yourself Van Helsing, really?
I'm on it.
But like, and then I couldn't think of who he was in... Because Gene Wilder's character is kind of the obvious choice for Mel Brooks to play, and then he didn't play that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Frankenstein, so.
And it was...
Well, no, he doesn't usually cast himself as a lead.
Yeah, really? It's usually a... I think Van Helsing might be one of his bigger
roles. That was a big role for him to play.
Because I don't... like I said, I haven't seen very many of them in Blazing Saddles. Oh, yeah, he was pretty big in...
He was a big role in History of the World.
Well, History of the World was... He was a waiter in one scene.
Of Young Frankenstein?
No, History of the World.
We're not talking about
the werewolf. He was the waiter at the Last Supper.
Yeah, wolf.
The voice of Victor Frankenstein and the cat hit by dart.
Do we have anything else?
I was just going to say, like, you know how you told us to wait for the end, Bryn, about something? So when I heard his voice, like, I thought it was going to be, like, a cut to him in the coffin and, like, that smiley face. I thought they were going to make it move.
Oh, that would have been funny, too.
And that's what I was expecting, like him just talking and saying that word over and over again.
To be fair, I didn't say that we had to wait till the end. I
felt like you were, like, threatening us.
So that
it was very, very aggressive. And it was Shannon turned the television back on.
She took the remote away from Shannon.
None of that happened. for Bryn's honor, none of that happened.
I will defend my honor.
Is honor on you? No, I'm just kidding.
Well, we can.
On your cow. On your vampire cow.
We can go this way, and this is a stupid question, as I'm starting with you, Bryn. Would you recommend it?
Would I recommend it as a vampire movie? You know what? No, because it's not a great vampire movie. But I do love Mel Brooks movies. So if you were just looking for like, oh, what else has Mel Brooks done? Because I feel like this is kind of under the radar as far as his movies go.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's not the first thing that pops in your head when you say like, oh, Mel Brooks movies. You list off like 5 or 6 before you get to this one.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm going to interrupt you for 1 second because I'm not well-versed in Mel Brooks, but I'm also not well-versed in Leslie Nielsen. Did Mel Brooks do the Naked Gun movies then?
No.
No.
I don't think I knew Mel Brooks did this until he showed up, or until you guys were like, Mel Brooks, because that's how you sound sometimes.
No. That's exactly how I say his name every time.
I don't think I knew it was him, because I thought it was like the other, are you eating your cake?
I think
Jordan's done with this podcast.
I think he's just licking the candles.
Hot. Don't put him back in. Okay. Also hot.
It'd be my cake.
Okay, then. I think I thought it was just another Naked Gun style movie, which I also haven't seen, or even Airplane. Did he do Airplane?
He was an Airplane.
Yeah. He was?
Leslie Nielsen wasn't in Mel Brooks.
Mel Brooks was not an Airplane. Mm-hmm. Leslie Nielsen.
Guess what? I knew that movie.
Okay, I knew that one.
How do you?
Good job.
Okay.
That's a good movie.
Okay. So that makes sense. Huh?
Harriet Nielsen was in the plane
movie. Was it an Airplane?
Uh-huh.
I know I've seen it. I know zero things about it. But you would not recommend it as a vampire movie, but as just a Mel Brooks movie?
Not as a vampire movie. Especially if this is the first vampire movie you're seeing, you're not going to understand any of the lore, and they want to know what they're making fun of. Mm. So it would be very difficult for me to just say, yeah, this is a great vampire movie, because it's not. but it's funny and I enjoy it. So
cool. Miss Annie.
I would recommend it a million times over. And I think I'm gonna have to go the opposite of Ren and even recommend it as a vampire movie.
How dare you?
I know.
We can't have conflicting opinions.
But as long as you like know the general story of Dracula, you'll be fine, and a farce is still a story.
Yeah.
I love it. It's fun. Steven also made sure that I brought up that he loves this movie a million times over, and he would recommend it a million times.
Well, he's not here.
I know, it's totally lame.
There's a space between Annie and I, though, where Steven...
She has kept a space for Jesus, but instead of Jesus, it's Steven.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
Cool.
But there's not a space between me and Invencio.
Hot.
So.
Okay.
Invencio, would you recommend it?
So, not knowing that it was a parody until halfway through the movie.
Good job.
And I didn't know, because when I saw the silhouette, I'm like, oh, he looks like that guy. I don't know the movie, but he looks like some sort of guy from a movie, because it, like, curled up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, it's a parody? Okay, that's cool. And knowing that I have never really seen many Mel Brooks movies, like, I had a really good time watching it.
Good.
So I would recommend watching it just as a movie, but if you're, like, vampire lore and fan, I wouldn't say that it'd be, like, on the list, just because it's not, like, a hardcore vampire movie. But if you like all things vampires, then yeah, I would say yes.
So Bryn's keeping a tally, and so now we have 2 in the Bryn tally. And she's very excited.
Can I ask, thank you.
Another microphone.
There are microphones, and he's using a lighter as a microphone.
Did you like it enough that you would check out other Mel Brooks movies?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen Airplanes.
That's
and
not Mel Brooks.
I know, but the humor was pretty
this
much the
like
same.
A Brothers.
Yeah, but the humor reminded me of the same thing. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I would watch it just because the humor got me really good. Like, for the humor aspect, I watched it again. So, if Mel Brooks makes these types of movies,
yeah.
I watched another Mel Brooks movie.
Cool.
Okay. And this was not one of his stronger films.
No.
I love the Mel Brooks podcast.
This is a really good Mel Brooks podcast. Mr. Jordan?
Yeah, I would recommend it.
Because you did.
We were just saying it's, yeah, because I did.
Because you're like, watch this movie next.
But like we said, it's not his strongest movie. Like, I'm trying to think of all these Mel Brooks movies. I'm like, there are better ones.
Yeah,
like, but this one wasn't bad, but it didn't blow me away. Definitely, like, 14-year-old Jordan enjoyed this movie a lot more than 36-year-old Jordan does. So
he's not 36
yet.
Only a couple more days. Old man. He's
still 35, guys.
Cool. But yes, I would recommend it because I think it's fun. And I think, I mean, I don't know why Vincio and Bryn are like, well, it's not a vampire movie, because it blatantly is a vampire movie.
I
like,
say it wasn't
Dracula.
A vampire movie.
To be fair.
It was a vampire movie.
To be fair.
Oh, hold on.
I didn't say it wasn't a vampire movie. I just wouldn't recommend it as a vampire movie. I mean, clearly there were vampires in
it. And you're right. If somebody's coming out and saying, like, I really want to, like, watch a spooky vampire movie, you need to watch Dracula Dead and Loving It, but, like,
no. I think the title would give it away,
though. Right.
Like,
it's very clear that
I would not recommend lots of the vampire movies we've watched as like, oh, like you like horror movies? You need to watch Bram Stoker, or not Bram Stoker's, but you need to watch like the original Dracula with Bela Lugosi. That's going to like make you shit your pants. It's not.
Language. Yeah.
So, I don't know.
No, that's fair. Because the original, the original Dracula isn't scary, and although this isn't scary either, if you want, like, I have people asking, like, okay, well, what's your favorite vampire movie? They get really aggressive about it. People need to simmer down. where they do want something spooky, and they do want something, like, and you either want your action-y vampire, or you want your, like, really heavy lore vampire, or you want, like, you want a certain kind of vampire movie
when you're looking for one. Because then we're talking about genres of movies, like, more than vampire movies.
Yes.
Like, and if you're listening to this podcast, you probably are interested in vampires, and so I would recommend this as a vampire movie.
Yeah.
I did say, if you are a hardcore vampire fan, that you should watch this movie. when you edit this, you're going to be like, oh, he did say that. So,
okay.
Just wanted to.
I'm gonna cut out that part.
And replace it with a train whistle here.
Jordan, find me a train whistle and then I'll add it in.
Or the meow.
Yeah. Or a Felix meow. Yeah.
Random Felix meow. I do need to cut that and keep it separate. Okay. Mike.
Yeah. I would. I mean,
enthusiastic.
Cool.
Thumbs up.
I'd say, you know, it's Mel Brooks.
Yeah.
You know, and I would let them know up front if I was recommending it to someone. It's Mel Brooks.
Mm-hmm.
And that gives you an idea of what to expect.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's Mel Brooks.
Yeah. And there are enough people that are Mel Brooks fans that they would understand that.
I think even as not a Mel Brooks fan, you would know what it means.
But yeah, like I said, from the title, I think the title gives away that it's not going to be a serious dark.
Most certainly.
Yeah.
To me, it was like the cover photo, I guess you can say it, like right before we hit play.
Oh.
I was like, why is he smiling so cheesy?
Wait, is this a comedy?
Yeah. Honestly, I didn't even read like what we were watching tonight. I just came over.
Anytime you see Leslie Nielsen dressed as Dracula, unless you really have no idea who Leslie Nielsen is.
I was going to say, anytime you know Leslie Nielsen is going to be in a movie, unless you're Shannon and you've only ever seen him otherwise in Creepshow, and then you're quite confused. Miss Jillian?
You know, I actually would recommend it as a vampire movie because I don't love everything like super spooky. I've never been a horror movie fan.
Mm-hmm.
And so as somebody who is interested in, like, semi-interested in vampires, I love the humor of it.
Mm-hmm.
I love how lighthearted it is, but still kind of has some of that background and the lore and stuff involved as well, without being like, I can't sleep tonight because it's so horrifying, like that one movie that we watched two versions of.
Oh, yeah, that one was spooky.
That was super spooky.
That one's good.
Which one?
Let Me In and Let the Rain
In.
Oh,
yeah.
You couldn't sleep that night?
No, well, I don't sleep anyway, but it just weirded me out.
I want to watch the scary movie vampire.
You want to watch a scary vampire movie?
Yeah.
I think we have two coming up.
It wasn't scary just so much as, like, it seemed, parts of it seemed too realistic.
It was dark.
It's disturbing.
Yeah. The American one, the bullies are real bully. Like, the American one is real violent in the bullying.
Yeah.
And I don't like that part either.
Yeah.
Cool. Madre, would you recommend it?
Yes. I thought it was hilarious. I liked it.
Good job.
Sometimes I don't like it scary,
but
I liked it. And I just watched a black and white Frankenstein movie the other day. It was Abbott and Costello meets the mommy.
And
so I was like, okay, I can handle that.
You can watch. We'll make sure you watch the not super spooky ones.
Yeah.
We'll put Jillian and my mom and like Fran on the not scary ones.
I will happily watch any of the Disney Channel original movies related to vampires. The Littlest Vampire.
I think they just
my daughter is chomping at the bit.
I think we have one coming up.
For Mom's Got a Date with a Vampire?
Yeah. I did. So my little girl, she's almost 12. And she, every time I come out this way, she's like, Mom, can I come with you, please? And I tell him, like, no, the movies are not appropriate. But Shannon said, when there is an appropriate movie for you, you can come and you can watch. So every single time she's like, are you, like, vibrating? So I'm like, is it today? I'm like, I will let you know.
I need to find my other list, but I know we have My Grandfather's a Vampire coming up.
Oh my goodness.
With what's his name, Al Lewis, who played Grandpa in The Munsters, and it was for some reason set in New Zealand. I don't know if he's from New Zealand.
I would give that a screening first because Al Lewis has done some weird shit.
Oh, good to know. Maybe that's one of our porn movies. Someone do research for me and tell me if the Al Lewis movie is porn.
Grandpa Munster has played his fame in some weird freaking ways.
Oh, fantastic. Cool.
My cousin Vinny being the judge.
Oh, no, that was Herman Munster. So this is Grandpa Munster, the Dracula.
Yes.
Gwyn is the funniest looking man because he looks exactly like Herman Munster, which why wouldn't he look like his face?
It's PG.
Yeah.
So it's probably not porn. Okay.
I'll scream.
You're like, Shannon, do homework for me.
The synopsis says, sent on a trip from California to New Zealand to visit with his eccentric grandfather, Lonnie discovers that his grandpa's a vampire. Unnerved at first, he soon discovers that his grandpa is a good vampire.
Oh. She can watch that one.
Cool. It's
kind of adorable. Shot in 5 weeks.
Oh, fantastic.
Wow. Oh, wow.
You know, that's enough time.
He's a Nick Knight.
Hmm?
He's a good vampire. He's a Nick Knight.
Al Lewis?
No, just because he's a nice one.
Oh, yes. Nick Knight is also a nice vampire. That is one. He'll get on the list eventually.
Yeah, other stars nobody else and anybody's ever heard of, so.
Yay.
Nope, they probably got that one name because he was retired and old and living in the town that they were filming in, and then they're just like, you want to be in a movie? And then he said yes. I'm sure that's...
owed somebody a big favor.
Yeah.
What are you doing for the next 5 weeks?
That's probably why it was filmed in 5 weeks.
So Leslie Nielsen was in a movie called Stan Helsing in 2009.
Is that on my list?
I don't think it has vampires in it, sadly, but reading the plot summary, I really want to watch it. It's like this stoner guy and the town is cursed by the biggest monsters in movie history, Freddy, Jason, Pinhead, Leatherface, Chucky, and Michael Myers.
Is there a Dracula in there?
I don't know, but like maybe we should, maybe I'll watch it this Halloween.
We should watch it. I'm trying to find my
demo. I just like the idea of a movie called Stan Helsing. I think that's hilarious.
That is quite hilarious.
That was pretty great.
I'm going to look it up to see if it's on my list, because it may or may not have been on someone else's list of vampire movies.
Oh, it's got a 3.6 out of 10. It's probably not good.
None of them are good. I still
want to
watch it. Sometimes that's fun.
Let's watch it on Halloween.
Okay. I won't be here on Halloween, but you guys can.
Don't mess up your job that night, because that's the night I'm seeing the show.
Oh, are you seeing it on Halloween?
Yeah.
I'll be real good. I'll dress the rhino real good. What do you call it? I don't know if I would recommend this movie because it's fun. And I think after we watched, I'm glad we watched Bram Stoker's, like the Francis Ford Coppola Dracula already, because there were a lot of similarities. And so I know when we were watching the Francis Ford Coppola Dracula, Jordan, you had mentioned like, this makes Dracula Dead and Loving It makes so much more sense. I also wish that maybe we had seen that one before What We Do in the Shadows, because there was a couple things in What We Do in the Shadows where I'm like, oh. So I'm glad I do have that history beforehand, before watching this one. So if some, like, I wouldn't necessarily want to watch it not knowing either of those movies, it doesn't make it unwatchable by any means. It's still a Mel Brooks movie. Like, if you like Mel Brooks, go for it. If you like vampires and you want something funny, why not? Whatever. It exists, and it's one of the ones that everybody knows, so if you want to be all hipster about it, then you need to watch the ones at least that everybody knows, as well as the more obscure ones. So that's a maybe. That's a kinda.
It's a good, solid maybe.
That's a maybe. So.
Sorry, I might have
it. Everybody needs to watch Transylvania 65,000 on Halloween.
So good.
Because that's legit funny.
Yeah.
Like, that's not even just, like, Leslie Nielsen slipping in bat poop, like, not funny.
Oh my gosh,
like,
that was hysterical.
That was not funny. That's, like, literally when I wrote, I totally God, no.
That
because that's
that
what
was
this,
so funny.
That's not funny. That's slipping in poop. That's not funny. shit.
You're laughing, though.
Transylvania 65,000 is delightful.
Yeah.
Legitimately hilarious.
That's not funny. Says the woman whose dog once at a picnic ate six.
Let him live in. Damn. My poor dog. My poor dog. Yeah. Anyway, that was Dracula Dead and Loving It, the 1995 movie by Mel Brooks with Leslie Nielsen and all sorts of other people. Holy moly. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us tonight. If you like tonight's movie, or if you want to tell us your favorite vampire movie, or if you have one that we should add to our list, any sort of vampire story or whatever, you can find us on various platforms like Facebook and Instagram at Vampire Movie Club, or on Twitter at Vamp Movie Club. You can also email us at vampiremovieclub@gmail.com. And if you like this podcast, you should tell your friends, because mine are here. and you should subscribe and rate and review and all that kind of stuff.
I don't think they're subscribing, but there's...
Do they subscribe? Like, I don't know.
There's
I do this wrong every time. There are stars... Be star.
Leave us 5-star reviews on iTunes because it really helps getting the podcast out to other people.
Yeah.
It's got reviewed. So leave us a nice review.
Do that.
And then maybe one day subscribe.
And then apparently one day when you have to start subscribing, I subscribe to podcasts. Well, I put them as my favorite. I guess I'm not subscribed to them. Thank you, Caravan of Thieves, for the use of their song Funhouse Entrance from their album, The Funhouse. That was harder to say than I meant it to be, so I... But everybody should go get that album, because it's amazing. And thank you, Caravan of Thieves, for letting us use their song. Do we have any old business, new business, whatever? Cool. Don't suck.
Yeah, I get it.
It's a beautiful world if you look at a glance. It's a dream if you stare, it's a scream. If you wait in the line every time, by the day that you die, you'll have waited your whole life.